Welcome to Just an Average Citizen, the podcast that helps to educate, inform, and empower you to make an impact in Abilene and the Big Country. Thank you so much for joining me on this April 1st episode. You know, it's always surprising to me how I think, oh, this is going to be a short episode. And then I realize there's just so much stuff we're still learning as we go through each of the meetings and each of the board meetings and each of the city council meetings to figure out what we need to know as citizens and help us better navigate through the information that's going on. So this episode is going to be full of some mind stretching, some brain stretching information. So I hope you can stick with me. This episode is also sponsored by Republic Fence. I personally recommend Cole and the guys at Republic Fence to build a fence for your home or business. They specialize in residential style privacy fencing that will enhance the beauty and security of your home. I want to say Cole and Judah are great people. They're conservative Christian guys, and they will do a great job for you at an honest price. You can contact them at republicfencetexas.com. So I know that we are still a small group that is working hard to become more than just an average citizen, or we're actually more than just an average citizen by even engaging in these conversations. So make sure you subscribe and share this with your family and friends so they too can find sources of information about what's going on. You know, it is hard to know how to access information. And I just want this to be a place where you can say, you know, I wonder what's going on with this and see if it's been talked about or discussed, because there are impactful things happening in our city. And we want to make sure we understand what our role as citizens are to be able to participate and be a part of the conversation before it's too late. There was a couple of things I wanted to show you before we get started. I actually went to the Business Expo on Wednesday, which was a first for me because, again, I told you last time, I am not a business-minded person. I do enjoy people, and it was overwhelming. There were so many booths. I couldn't believe what was going on and how I'd not really been a part of it. I was thankful to be informed about it and was able to walk around and take hold of some of the goodies they have and get to meet some people and actually connect with friends I hadn't seen in a while, so that was really fun. It is a great connecting place, I will say that. But one of the things that tickled me was to see that the city had a booth. You know, they have their Building Community Gather sign from the State of the City address. And then they had these two apps that you could actually download. And I've heard them talk about it, but I had forgotten about it. And so I wanted to let you know, I just looked up mobile apps on the city website, and they have what's called see, click, fix. So if you see something wrong with the city, your street or a street somewhere, you can just communicate on this to let them know where some problem areas are so they can hopefully get to them fairly quickly. The other one is Navigate Abilene with My Abby Mobile, and it talks about how you can do City of Abilene information and online bill pay, community events calendar, places to stay. You get notifications and announcements, a restaurant business directory, things to do. And then if you use CityLink, there's Where's My Bus? Or I didn't realize even all these on here. There's the Echo Lane app, which helps with paratransit and evening service trips. Zip Zone app, which is a program they're trying. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know I was excited to see what was going on at the Business Expo. It was overwhelming, to be honest, though. So I couldn't, all the noise and all the talking, it was kind of crazy. But I think it's a great way to network and connect with other business like-minded people. I guess they all, I don't know if every booth has to be with the chamber, but there's a lot of chamber people there. And I heard a lot of talks about red coats, even though I guess it was last time this year, I had no idea what a red coat was. That's how green I am in the business industry. But it was a good day, and I'm glad we got to do it. The other thing I wanted to show you was something that I've never really done before up until last fall. I actually have used the Freedom of Information Act, which is called a FOIA. And it's if you would like to know information or get documentation from things that have been shared publicly that you would like access to, then you fill out a form. And in 10 business days, typically they'll respond to you and give you the information. And so I just was really excited. I probably could have prepared this a little better. I was trying to find something exciting to show you, but I have all the presentation slides from the city council retreat, which is good. One of the things I was really excited to get was, I guess I had something there that I wanted to show you, but it, you know, this nuisance abatement, junk vehicle abatement, these slides I really wanted to be able to see because of all the information they had up there for how they resolve issues in our city, and it had a lot of good information, and it was really hard to see on that day, even though I think I tried to take some pictures. So it's just nice to be able to have these actual slides so that we can look and see what was actually shared, to refer back to things like where it said, you know, the average length of time, we talked about this with the nuisance abatement, was 66 days in fiscal year 2022. And then in fiscal year 23, it went down to 44 days. So they're doing a lot of improvement there. The other thing that was a big announcement at the city council meeting this week was the changes happening to Cypress Street and the around and that those the streets around it. And so I just want to let you know, I went to the City of Abilene webpage and scrolled down, and there it is. It's right there, downtown Abilene, Texas. Cypress Street Improvement Project Transforming Abilene City Core. And so it will tell you all the different closures. They're planning on doing some work from the first, I guess we're in quarter two and quarter three now for fiscal year 24, and then they're going to not be doing thing in the last quarter, and then they'll be doing some different things in different phases. We'll talk about maybe a little bit more. But anyway, so you can know the changes and where you'll have to go and how you'll have to navigate through there. And if you're a business owner, they said you should have already received contact, because they do have a downtown coordinator now who is telling people what is going on and communicating. And so they have all these, they don't have all the pictures, which I was kind of disappointed, because they showed a bunch of project pictures during the meeting, but they didn't have those in the packet, which I don't understand why they can't just throw those in. And maybe it's because they would have to add them in individually. I don't really know, but that's okay. So that is just something that is worth looking into, especially if you navigate through downtown on a regular basis. You want to know what's going on and how to continue shopping at those stores, because we want to support a growing downtown, because our city is investing $9 million in the street improvements. So we've got to have some businesses thrive there. So it's important that we are connected and know how we can navigate through the changes as they're being improved. All right, I think that's all for now. Let's go ahead and move into the week in review. Like I said, I didn't really think there was a whole lot to talk about this week until I started looking at my notes, and I was like, man, there's so many things that we haven't talked about that it's important that when we have these slow weeks that we can add more knowledge to our brains and our resources, so we can have information to connect things to when it comes along the way. And so I found out there was a visual arts jury board for Monday at noon. There really wasn't a lot on there. And it seems to me that there's not a lot of information that this board seems to just be kind of a, they say yes. And so I'm not sure. I'll look into it more, because I'm learning as I go. But this one seems they bring information and everybody says yes, and then they leave. And I believe the meeting lasted 20 minutes or less. I mean, it was a very short meeting and there was some dialogue, but it really seems to me that maybe people understand what's going on. And so I'm a newbie and haven't got it all down, but they basically meet twice a year. Once in September, I would assume, to approve the sculpture for the calf, and once in March to approve the sculpture that they pick, or the series, art series, or whatever they use for this exhibit they do down North First and South First along the train tracks down closer to downtown. And so this year they're going to be using, that just jumped over, they're going to be using a used tire exhibit by Jack Massing. And so he, you can see the picture right there. It is near Abilene General Tire, is right there on South First between State Street, and North First is over here. There's North Fifth Street. So I don't know if that's kind of near Valita's, or I think that's where that might be. Anyway, they're going to have it on the North First side. And so it's going to be a tire exhibit. And it was fun listening to the conversations. Have they ever had any kind of, you know, material like this used before? Yes, they have. They had a Michelin tire man back in 2018, I believe. No, they had it a couple years ago at the zoo. But this series that they bring in art exhibits, kind of on a little tour, I guess you could say, they've been doing this since 1981. And so I didn't realize they actually changed them out, which I've noticed they've changed, but I didn't understand how that was, how that came about or what they did. So they just created some stipulations onto how big the tires exhibit was going to be so that they could be seen from the street. And they picked, you know, that they wanted him to have his freedom. And then they decided on how to do it so they didn't have to actually call back another meeting, so that the artist could just do it and they could move on. So they said yes to this. There were some other projects that I don't think I showed you. One of them was a recommendation from, I believe, a very well-known sculptor in our town. And so they are bringing culture to Abilene, and that's not a bad thing. The only problem is I have noticed some marked differences. I can go to certain meetings and I've never been anything but who I am. I'm not a person who is, I try to be nice to everybody I go to. But this meeting I walked in and I sat down and no one acknowledged me. No one talked to me. No one even saw that. They didn't even offer public comments or anything like that. And I don't think I would have said something, but it's just interesting, this open meeting and how they run their meetings. It varies from group to group, but there are some people that I've recognized that I know that are on the board, but it's like this tension because I have created such a frustration to some of those people that I don't really want to get him or her labeled associated with me, because I know that that is a tough place to be. And so it's like this awkward navigating of how do you do dynamic relationships like this when you you're just trying to be engaged and involved and people kind of have decided that they're not a big fan of you. And that's okay. Not everyone's going to be a fan of me, and I'm not going to be a fan of everyone, but we can work together and make sure that we open up a place that there can be conversations that happen. And then a lot of things would probably be avoided. But again, I was the only person attending this meeting, and that's how I expect it to be, because I don't really foresee in the future anyone else coming, because it just seems to be a meeting that they go through the motions. And, I've done enough of these to know that's kind of how that works, it looks like. So I still haven't discovered the private entity of how we as citizens get involved in those places so that we can have healthy conversations. So right now it's basically, you know, something that kind of is not a place that I feel like we really make a big difference as far as citizens go in those places. So let's move on to the next meeting. Was the fire Men's Relief and Retirement Fund Board agenda, and they don't have anything. And so one thing I did notice, and I was going to try and zoom in here so I could read it a little better on their agenda. So they deal with stuff that have to do with needs of firemen, retirement issues, things like that. So let's see here. I did the wrong one again. All right. So they talked about the fiscal year 2023 financial audit by the action presented by Stacy McGee of Roberts and McGee, and they talked about how Roberts and McGee, there's a typo. I was like, what is that word? They need, for a CPA, they need $9,000 to prepare the annual audit. They considered the approval of a refund of contributions to Dylan Duggan, who resigned March 14th, considered approval to terminate benefits to Jimmy Hughes, who's passed away January 25th, 2024, and they discussed a public possible action of an appointment of a citizen member. So I don't know what you have to be on the Fireman Retirement and Relief Board. Is that what it's called? Relief and Retirement Fund Board. But it's something you can apply to. They consider the approval of the payment to Indus Moksham for annual subscription to Pension Easy in the amount of $12,571. And that was basically it. So I made that probably more exciting than it really was. I don't know. Like, it's just at a time that I cannot go. And so it's a board that I will not be able to attend. So if anybody wants to go and check it out, let me know. I think that would be awesome. Okay, let's move to my favorite meeting of every 2 weeks, the city council meeting. This one was a pretty short, sweet one. There wasn't a whole lot on the agenda except I think one item. However, several items were pulled from the consent agenda, which always makes me happy. So we had three agenda items that were pulled. Consent agenda items pulled, which means they were brought to discussion, and that was really awesome. So it took a little bit longer probably because we had some healthy discussions, which I think is always great. You know, I think it's really good that we have some healthy back and forth, like thinking out loud, because it's important for us as citizens to know what's going on. And if everything's just approved with a blind, you know, motion, then it's really hard to know how they got to that conclusion and all that stuff. So I do appreciate a little bit of the dialogue that happens. So they did a proclamation for the month of the military child, which I thought was great. Now let me see if I can find my spot. There you go. And so of all the things on the consent agenda items, I thought it would be good just to talk about some of them, because I do think they bring up some good conversations and some things we need to start paying attention to. The first one is just a simple announcement that if you don't know about the Dias Big Country Air Fest, they do that at the airport partially. I'm not sure. I have tried to go, but it has just never worked out. I believe it's May 4th, which is also Election Day, in case you aren't aren't aware, for school boards, we don't have any city elections, at least in Abilene. I did see there some mayor candidates for GymNed or Buffalo Gap, I guess is what that would be. Anyway, so, but I just wanted to point out that Dias Big Country Airfest Airport will be the Dias Big Country Airfest, let me say it correctly, will be happening on May 4th, and just they have to have official agreement because it does not affect the airport functions of day-to-day use, but it does, they have to make sure they have that part of it taken care of. One thing I think is so interesting to note is, you know, I'm a civilian. I've always been a civilian. I've had many friends at Dias come and go. Some come back and retire. You know, we've had a typical Abilene relationship, I think, with most of the military here. And I didn't realize how great of a community we have that is very helpful to the military families. And I love that. I think that's amazing. And I think it does have to do with the dynamics. I know the chamber has a military affairs council aspect to it. I know that we have probably, I think it's 13,000 employees between civilian and non-civilians working at this place. It brings in, I think there's $1 million of revenue. Maybe money exchange. I can't remember the exact terminology. It is significant into our economy. And so it is something that we want to definitely appreciate and value and recognize that it is a part of our community. And without it, we would not be Abilene like we know it. So hope you can make plans to go to that. I think that would be fun. Okay. So the next thing I wanted to talk to you about was the walkability project. Again, there are a lot of projects that go on, and if you don't understand, it's like, man, why are they working on this? Why are they working on that? You have to understand a lot of these projects have to work with TxDOT, especially when it comes to the road. And so they actually had an agreement, TxDOT had an agreement with the city of Abilene to install pedestrian facilities along Old Anson Road from Amler Avenue to West Stamford Street. And you can kind of see where it is on the north side of town. Pedestrian facilities will include sidewalk, traffic signals, sign upgrades, and supporting infrastructure. The agenda item is a commitment of the city of Abilene to enter into an advanced funding agreement with TxDOT. The advanced funding agreement allows for construction of a new pedestrian facilities at a fraction of the cost to the city of Abilene. The city's contribution is 20% of the total cost of the project. At this time, it's estimated to be $74,000 of a total of $2.3 million. So what's great about that is Abilene contributes 20% and we get $2.3 million worth of pedestrian walkability, like sidewalk traffic upgrades and supporting infrastructure. So there are a lot of opportunities out there. Sometimes it seems like, you know, you do have to give a little bit to get a lot, and we always have to weigh those out. And I think that for the people on that side of town, sidewalks are an amazing thing. If you can have them to walk on, it's way better to get to and from where you need to go. All right, let's go ahead and move to the resolution, agenda item number 10, which is a resolution for a street resurfacing project work zone. So one of the things I learned along the way, let me make sure that is what I was looking for, because there's a lot of street projects on this one. Yes. Okay. So what I learned along the way is that there is this great information sheet that they put for each agenda item, but a lot of times there is a resolution that even tells you more. So there were some things that I learned. I can't even remember what they were, but I was like, huh, I wouldn't have known that had I not read the resolution. So look at me reading resolutions left and right, like I am kind of crazy above average, but I will encourage you to open up this agenda packet and look at it. I'd be happy to help anyone who want to know how to navigate it in a way that's not overwhelming, but you just got to start. This one is only 304 pages, which is not a terrible sized one. And so I just wanted to point out that this particular item is where they're going to be doing work for the basically Fairway Oaks is getting their resurfacing and their street improved. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I'm trying to remember now what they're actually doing, but this neighborhood is one of the big projects that they were wanting to do for the street maintenance board, chose to do this one, and it's going to cost $2.5 million. And so I just wanted to show you really quickly. I believe that's all I was hoping to do as I now scroll down to let you see where the streets are that they're going to be working on. And so they do these great maps of the city. So you can see this area right here is going to cost $2.5 million. And so that's your street maintenance fee at work. There are some other projects that have come up along the way. I did get in to the two street maintenance board meetings that they had this last year and didn't really understand what was going on, but I was watching. And so I saw them pick all the different projects for this year. So that is what's happening there. All right. So now we're going to go to resolution 12. Now this one, I'm still learning a lot about, so I'm not going to try and make a hypothesis about something I'm not educated about. But these are the things that I think about when I see, because of what I have walked through and what I've listened and learned about. It's just stuff that I want to ask about. So this actually, agenda item 12 is a new traffic signal going between Antley and Memorial, which is over there near Hef's Burgers. There's an eye surgery place, Subway, you know, there's Fairway Oaks is right there. So they're going to put a traffic signal in here. And what was interesting to me is that this was being allocated through the street maintenance fee. And so that led me down a rabbit hole. I'm still not to the bottom of it. And I was just going to try and do some research so I could present some information. And I just wanted to let you know how I navigate through this. So I'm like, I thought the street maintenance fee was to repair streets and work on making sure our streets are drivable. I didn't know it included adding new light signals to the tune of $500,000. And so that's where I was like, what is exactly the street maintenance fee? And look here. I put things out of order, so I'll have to come back to that one. Okay. I Googled in the website up here where it has a search engine, I just said street maintenance fund. So I came and found this information that in January 20 of 2019, they began collecting a street maintenance fee paid by utility customers within the city limits for the purposes of establishing a fund dedicated to the management and the care of city streets. In the fall of 2019, residents saw work begin on the first project funded through the Development Corporation of Abilene's contribution to the street maintenance fund. So the DCOA is also contributing to the street maintenance fund. So here's where it gets confusing to me. And I'm trying to learn and I'm trying to have grace when I get frustrated. But it's like, okay, so we have a fund and we have a fee. What's the difference between the two? So I do think these are some important stats. Since 2016, $125 million. Let's see here. Actually, let me come up here. The fee has raised $46 million since its inception in 2018. $28.5 million in the street maintenance fee funding, $17 million in separate city funds. So you can see there, DCOA, general fund money has been spent on street maintenance. Since 2016, $125 million has been invested in roads from all funding sources, with a projected 2024 expenditures from the street maintenance fund at $14 million, which is interesting because I thought the street maintenance fee board only approved $7 million, so I would be curious to see where the rest of the $7 million comes from, if I'm remembering correctly, because I'm speaking off the top of my head. 26% of Abilene roads have been improved through funding sources since 2016, 179 miles of the city's 658 miles of roadway. So you can see all the work's done. This is called the rainbow map because it's all full of all the different rainbow things that they're doing. See, it says rainbow map of all repairs. You can find all the different fund project, linear project, neighborhood, intersections. And so it looks like Antley and Memorial has already been worked on. I don't know if that's including, I don't know what that includes. It's not very informational, but there's some basic information, which is good. So here's all, so I clicked on, let me show you here. So I came down here and I looked at, let's see, what did I look at? They have different project work zones. This one's into A and into B. And so you can see all the different work zones that they're working on, and this is where they did it. You can see the areas it's located. I found another work zone. This was called S11B. Again, all the different neighborhoods that were resurfaced. And so I was like, So we have a street maintenance fee, and we have a street maintenance fund. What's the difference between the two? So I brought out my trusty little budget, and I thought, you know, this is stuff that average citizens can do. We can find these answers. And I was doing pretty good. You know, we have the maintenance fee here, which, you know, the revised was $7.2 million. And that's where that $14 million is a new number to me because I was like, oh, we only got $7 million. So, but it looks like contributions and donations, transfers in. So now I'll have to spend some time figuring out where that extra $7 million came from because I don't think that information's available through this budget. But now we know that there's $15 million, I guess. And so they expended maintenance and transfers out for the street project fund. And anyway, so you can look on here. But one thing I'm like, okay, where's the street project fund? And I couldn't find it in the book in order to the budget to tell you more about it, because these are the things that I go, you know, this should be pretty straightforward. It's a fund budget. I think I understand the general concept of it. But when they put stuff in here, it makes it confusing, because what is it? Is it the street project fund? How do they label that? And where can we find that information? And if I had no life, then I could probably get a lot of information from people, because I'd be spending all this time trying to ask these good questions. But I do have a life, and I am just an average citizen. So we take it in chunks, and we know that our nation, our cities, everything was built to take time to figure out and change and understand. So it doesn't have, we don't have to freak out and go, oh, I don't know the information. What's going to go wrong? No, we just have to work the process, because this is a process that takes years to get through all these different things. It's not going to happen overnight, and therefore we can't learn it overnight. So let me encourage you to see that there's a lot of cool information in here that we can learn more about. And I say cool because I'm talking about street projects. When would I ever think that that was cool? I guess in 2024. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know a little bit about the fact that I didn't realize that that street funds, the street maintenance fee, could be used for new traffic signals. And so that's something I thought to look into, because again, I would thought they were just for resurfacing streets, the street maintenance fee. And I would think they would use other funds to fund this project. And that's what I wish I could show you, but I'll have to show you another time because I can't find that website. All right. So I did want to bring up that we have I skipped over this one. So, agenda item 14 was to have network engineering services from Weaver Technologies. And I think this is interesting. When the city cannot find an employee to take care of some projects that they needed to do, mainly in the IT area, they're able to actually, they have a service that you can actually hire people to help you in the interim until you find an employee who can do that in-house. And so this was just to extend it through the rest of the year. And they're trying to find an employee. And this was something that was pulled from the consent agenda item, because they were just talking about how do they find these employees, and how do we pay them, and why have we not found one yet, and are we going to make sure it's an in-house job rather than out of city service program that we pay for out of house, I guess is what it's called. So that was pulled, and I thought that was important for us to know that there are jobs available, but they're looking for high caliber employees to be able to fill those places. And so there are a lot of holes in our city's employee pool right now for that. I say a lot, not a whole lot. I mean, but there are people that they're trying to fill. They need people to fill these jobs. Okay, so this one was another interesting thing that I just want to know more about, because I'm starting to learn as I cycle through this more and more about it. So this is the Cypress Street. This is confusing, or it's hard to say. The Abilene Cypress Streetscape Improvement Project. Okay. And so this was passed. I don't even know when this was passed I don't know when the city council approved it, because I just was probably not being a subpar citizen at that time. But what this is this gives us a maximum price that they cannot spend more than. And so they have set a cap price, or a maximum price, of $9.5 million for the work. Now that doesn't, I believe, include the designs and stuff like that, but they do have a lot of contingency funds. I will say that's one thing I've been impressed with Robert Hanna, the city manager, is he makes sure there's contingency funds if there's something that goes wrong. I think it was funny. He said, you know, now obviously if we accidentally cut into the largest, what did he call it? A fiber, I can't even think of what he called it, but he's like, if we, you know, in the world, a fiber wire or something like that. I can't remember what the word is now. I'm looking like a dork. But anyway, he said, we don't have a contingency for that, but many things they do have contingency for. And I think that is, I think that's important. All right. So what I wanted to show you here was they don't put all the pictures in all the slides in the packet. And I don't understand why. It may be too hard for him to add these in, or for Shauna Adkins, the city secretary. I don't know. And so I was just like, you know, rather than having to do a Freedom of Information Act to ask for these pictures so we can see what's going on. There's several phases. There's phase one is in 2024. Phase two, I believe, is in 2025. Phase three, I'm not sure. I'll have to look, but I just want to let you know. So I think this is going to be close to through traffic. So you're going to have to know where the alleys are, and the city's website has that information. But I wanted to see, there's one picture, there's phase two. You like my awesome photographic skills. So what I could do is take a screenshot of this picture and do it, but I was just trying to be on the ball here. And so I have this one, and then look, I missed that one, but then there's this one, phase 3B, which is taking place in quarter two and three of 2025. And you can see that. And they're trying to be mindful of businesses and helping them out. And so there was some good discussion about that. What I wanted to show you was, here are the sources and use. And again, this is me trying to help you understand where we're coming from and where we need to go in the future. So I'm looking at the fund sources. We have a series 2023 COs. And what I remembered when I was reading this was that they actually take out COs for the taxes that they'll get in this different TERS. Now remember, it's tax investment, tax increment reinvestment zone. Woohoo! There you go. This is TERS 2, which is 1,600 acres, which I think I have a slide for that. But I thought that's what that was, but there's no name on it. And I did ask him last summer in the budget, and I was like, it'd be great if you could actually label these so we would know that those are for. Anyway, and apparently there's some extra funds already in the account for TERS number two. And so there's $7.6 million they took out a certificate. I said it last time on our podcast, and I'm sorry, the last episode. It's a CO is a certificate of obligation. Now, a CO is something they do not have to ask the ballot. They don't have to go to the ballot. They just decide to spend that money. And then they had $500,000 for a TERS number two contribution. They also had two minor improvement project fund contribution for pre-construction and construction of about $500,000. And then right here it says that they had some sidewalk funds specifically from a general obligation bond from Series 2017, which was a ballot initiative back in, I guess, probably 2016, of $1.5 million, which gives us a total project fund sources of $10 million, $10.3 million. All right, so here breaks down how they use the funds. And so the guaranteed max price is $9.5 million. I think the design pre-construction, and I'm not sure where the design fees, I'm learning how to read those. Anyway, so I think these are helpful. I wish they would have had these a long time ago so we could see what was going on, and then I would have time to talk about it. But when they just put them at the week of the meeting, there's no time. I've tried my hardest to read agenda packets. I mean, I'm probably one of the few citizens who have read almost every, if not every, agenda packet in the past year for sure, to see what's going on. And I have crazy busy Mondays and Tuesdays. And of course the weekend I'm spending time with my family. So typically I don't get to it till Wednesday. Well, then it's really hard to email people and ask questions for a Thursday morning meeting. And so I just apologize, but there I am. I did actually ask a question about the TERS money because I just wanted to confirm that the CO was, the certificate of obligation was a TERS funding source and not just a general, not a general bond, but a bond that just came for no, you know, they're expecting that certificate of obligation to be paid off by the taxes that they collect in the TERS funding. So, all right, let's go ahead and go to our next thing. Yes, I did want to show you this quickly. So if you go to the financial transparency, you can look at our bond HB1378, which says they have to disclose our bond stuff. This is where, right here, you can see the general obligation bond series 2023. I believe that's where the CO is, but this is where it gets a little tricky because it's 7.3, not 7.5. And is that what? That's, yeah, 7.6. So I don't know if that's the exact same number, but you can also see here, if we go to the top, make sure I get the right one, that totalable principal and interest on 7.3 is $11 million. So we're paying interest, another $3 to $4 million on that bond series. And I don't know if that's covered by TERS. You know, like I think it is, and I'm pretty sure it is. But again, I'm still learning and growing. But I just wanted to let you see that this is the bonds that we have for our city. And you cannot read them if you print this out because I have. Look at how small that print is. So that is all, I think that's all the bonds we owe right now, all the debt we owe, certificate of obligation and general obligation. All right, so now let's go here to the Cypress Pre-Improvement Project. So they're going to talk about, this tells you all about the project, where it's going to be closed, how it's going to be funded. And again, this is a picture I wish I could have access to, but it's on the website. So you can look at it and see where it is if you need to navigate through there to get, say, like to the Paramount, I think. No, it's not to the Paramount yet. This is, I think that's Monk's right there and Bogies. And then the Paramount is down there. I think that's the office. Is that right across? I don't know. Or maybe it's not. I'm not sure. You'll have to look and see a little closer. I'm trying to help you out, and you don't need me to talk that much more about that. So let's go to the next thing. I did want to bring this up. This is kind of a, hey, did you know? I'm always curious about stuff. So the Borden, I think it's the Borden Milk Plant is what it is over there on Pioneer near the police station. It's been for sale forever, and I thought somebody bought it. And here they are coming with their first reading to ask for some improvement, some changes to some buildings they have on the property. It's going to be a senior multifamily facility. So I don't know what that means, but it'll be exciting to watch how they change that. And if they restore it and make that stick around, that would be really cool. Not really exciting and probably not super important, but I just wanted to let you know they're moving forward on that project, which makes me go, oh yeah, I remember that. Okay, so now to the big one, which I'm sure this is not that exciting to you. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm not going to try and spend too much time on it. But now we're getting some of the details. And now I understand why we're so confused about it. Because in February, that the city was given information to say that they owed $4 million in back taxes, or not back taxes. That's not the right way. They need to reimburse a company that actually sued the state of Texas in between 2011 and 2013 taxes. So this has been a long time going, but in February they were given the information, hey, you owe us $4 million. We got to give back to this company. And that's kind of a little intimidating, I would think, as a person who works in large budgets, but $4 million, that's probably not cash on hand that you have to give back. And so thankfully it actually was reduced to even, I think it's $3.1 million, and they have 42 months to pay it out. And so because of that, he's asking to amend some of the things in the budget, to revise the budget. They're going to do a hiring freeze per se, but they're not going to be posting jobs. So basically a hiring freeze. They're not going to be posting the jobs that they have open right now because they're going to, here, I'll go to this slide. This will probably be the most helpful thing I can do. So they anticipated sales taxes to revenue to be slowing. They said that as the green and black line come together, tax revenues go down a little bit. And so they had already kind of anticipated, but they expect it to go back up in the right direction, I guess, in the next one. So here I wanted to show you. So these are the things they're going to be working on to help work through this. Now, these are not like, oh my gosh, we've got to do this. These are things they're taking to make sure that we have the money we need to function as a city, which sounds very prudent. And I'm very impressed with how they're handling it. I can't imagine navigating through this. And now I understand why. The way he spoke at the special city council retreat, or the city council retreat, was a little bit like, oh my gosh, it felt a little bit more heavy than I've noticed him to ever speak, the city manager. And so what they're going to be doing is they recommended and approved this already, that they're going to take away, they're going to freeze positions to help with offset unforeseen expenses. Because like we said, there's positions that are really having a hard time finding people to hire. So they're going to freeze that $650,000. They're going to due to sales tax changes, they're going to also freeze $283,000, and then less unforeseen expenses and position changes, there's $517,000, and that gives a net personal savings of $416,000. So that's going to be kind of what they hang on to in order to make, I think the payments are like, oh my gosh, I don't know if it's like $58,000 or $86,000. Oh yeah, it was $56,000 a month. So they'll be paying 56, which doesn't sound like a bunch when you have like a 300, maybe that's how much debt we have. I don't know how much our budget is, operating budget right now. My brain is, it's left me. But anyway, so then the general fund so they're not going to be transferring any money from the general fund and making utility payments. It says general fund transfers and utility payments. So reduction in general fund transfers to utility funds of $580,000. And what it was explained through the conversation is that they do actually have a buffer or whatever. They have a little amount that they keep on reserve in that fund. And so it shouldn't affect it too much. It's just going to remove or reduce the extra amount they have in that fund, the ad valorem and sales tax. Ad valorem is property taxes, in case you've forgotten. Sales tax to the street maintenance fund of $500,000. And then they're going to reduce the amount they give to the minor improvement fund of to 4.5, which is another $200,000, basically. So they're going to, this general fund transfers and utility payments will be $1.3 million for a total recommendation of $1.7 million in reducing the budget to maybe to prepare for this. Now, they said that they've set it up so that if they see that this is not going to be as bad as they thought it would be, then they would obviously put these monies back in the place where they would go and they would move about as they had originally planned. But it looks like they're just kind of halting projects and mainly in personnel. And I hope that's not, you know, personnel for the police officers, because I do know they're trying to hire, but I also know that they're having a hard time finding people to those positions. So, but I think they're working in a prudent way from what I can tell. And so that's good news. All right. That's all we have. Now I want to go to the week in preview. So there's quite a few things going on this week. There's a planning and zoning commission meeting on April 2nd at 1:30 to 3:30. There's a child advocacy center board meeting at 4 to 5 at the Taylor County District Attorney's Office. There is a Betty Hardwick Center Board of Trustees meeting on April 2nd from 4:30 to 5:30. There's a Board of Building Standards, 8:30 to 10:30. There's an Abilene Taylor County Events Venue District Board meeting on Wednesday, April 3rd from 1:30 to 3:30. There is a Notice of Possible Quorum. This is a new one for me. I've never seen this advertisement of the Abilene MPO Policy Board meeting at the Abilene Training Room. I don't know where that is. April 4th, 1:30 to 3:30. And that is all for that meeting. But those are a lot of meetings. So let's see, we won't have a lot of things. I know the Child Advocacy Center Board and the Betty Hardwick one are definitely ones that I will not be able to attend, I believe. And then we'll have to see about the Venue District Board. That is interesting. I'll have to look and see what's on the agenda. It's got my interest peaked as to why I believe this is a scheduled meeting, but I didn't have it on my calendar. So that's another interesting thing. But then also what this Abilene MPO Policy Board, I wonder what's going on with that. Let's see. So it sounds like we got some fun things going on this week. And so I just want to wrap things up and just let you know that it is hard to navigate through these times, because we are in a culture that does not value opinions. They value people who just go along to get along. They don't really like people who stand up and question what is normal. And so I just want to encourage you to remember that a lot of times, I was at a meeting a little over a week ago. And it was funny, we had a large group there and we were taking a vote, and it was like, you could hear that there was a lot of people who agreed and they would vote yes. But then when they would ask who disagreed, the number sounded louder than the group that agreed. And so we would do a hand count. So everybody would raise their hand and they say, okay, the yeses are like, you know, 95%, 98% of the group. And they would find that these loud no's were a very small minority, but they were loud. They were loud. And so let me just encourage you to know that there are people who are just like you. They want to be engaged. They want to be involved, and they're okay with asking good questions and having conversations. But don't let those loud few people who are loud and are sometimes brash and rude make you feel intimidated. You don't have to make a loud stink. You don't have to be obnoxious. You can just be yourself. But I just want you to be encouraged to know that groupthink is destructive. And if we all just agree with everything and never question anything, then we're going to be in a bad situation, because how many of us trusted what our elected officials and what the medical professionals told us during this big thing with 2020. We trusted them, and then we found out most of it was not true and it was not helpful. In fact, it caused more damage than good. And so if there's something in your spirit, you know, God gives us the Holy Spirit as believers to help us discern the truth. And if you feel that, something's not right, it's okay to say, hey, listen, I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm not sure if that's something I'm okay with. I need to check out more. And recognize there's probably more people who are thinking the same thing. And I remember I was at a group meeting probably a couple months ago, and I was the first person to ask a question, because I didn't want to be, I'm always asking questions and I'm always doing things like that. And I hate it, but sometimes I know that it helps other people. So I asked a question that was not necessarily super awesome. But afterwards, someone said, thank you so much for asking that question. It really helped open people up. And so you may be the person God uses to help open people up. So please don't be afraid to speak out and ask a question, because sometimes it's just that no one has asked it yet and they have the answer, or sometimes they just haven't thought about it yet. So I hope that you'll recognize that you have been given a voice. It matters in Abilene, Texas. It matters in the big country, and we need you to use it in the places of influence God has given you. So thank you so much for listening. It would help me so much out if you would subscribe and share this with your family and friends so they too can be a part of learning what we need to know so that we can be educated and informed so that we can be empowered to make an impact in Abilene in the big country. Until next time.